Okay. Yeah, I haven't had supper yet, so.
All right, let's get a move on then.
At about, you know, 10 to 8, I'll be like.
It's Song Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become way better at songwriting. I know I am. Neil, are you way better since this show began?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean the podcast. And Phil?
I am better.
Or did you mean all since right. this show began like 12 seconds ago?
No, I meant the, you know, in 6 general, years ago, okay. however long the this macro podcast scale. Has been out there.
Yes, yeah. definitely yes.
Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Mike Proudfoot, and with me are the members of the Song Talk Radio Action team, my co-hosts, Phil Emery. Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm very excited, and I bought a trackball on the weekend for working in a digital audio workstation.
Oh, a trackball. I thought it was like an exercise thing.
Could be.
For your wrist, for your fingers.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. No more carpal tunnel for you. And no. Neil, how are you? How was your
doing good. Enjoyed
family day, your Valentine's Day?
Yeah, it was fun and excited about the show tonight. It's going to be neat.
So am I. And I'd just like to remind our audience that during the show, if you please feel free to send your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or you can email us at feedback@songtalk.ca and we will share them with you, with the rest of the audience. And please visit us at songtalk.ca to find out how you could be a guest on the show. Tonight, we're going to dive back into our 2021 Song Talk Challenge, where the task is to create a song with a chord progression that never changes. A few weeks ago, you heard what we three came up with, and tonight, you're going to hear some of our listeners' songs. We've had a lot of contributions from the audience, so tonight's show is just the beginning. We will have another listener response to the Song Talk Challenge next month. And yes. if these entries keep on coming, we will continue to feature these songs on upcoming episodes. So hopefully you will feel inspired. I hope so, because we would love to hear what you're doing. But right now, we have the first round of audience songs, and we'll get to that shortly. Phil, Neil, do we have any music news, any listener emails, anything that we should share before we get into the meat of the show?
Of course, the untimely death of Chick Corea.
Mm-hmm.
Was quite young, just in his 70s, and a huge presence in the jazz world.
Yeah. I admit, I didn't know a lot about him. I remember taking like a jazz appreciation class in university, and he came up, and I was like, wow. As a wicked good piano player and just inventive and interesting. Didn't really listen to him much since then, but our good friend of the show, Jeff Greenway, shared a video on Facebook where Chick Corea was in a small theater with an audience. This was recently, like within the last few years. And he did this thing they said he used to do when he was a kid, that he would pick someone from the audience, have them sit down beside the piano, and he would just look at them. They would say their name, and that's it, nothing about themselves. And he would improvise a piece on the piano that supposedly kind of reflected their personality or their thing. So he got a girl, and then he got a guy. And it was just like this. The guy had just passed away, and I couldn't stop smiling at this thing because it was so kind of cool and inventive and beautiful. It really, really,
that's really,
really
neat.
You'll have to
that's
look
really
it up,
neat.
And we'll put it in the show notes because it was really quite... quite a wonderful thing.
Yeah, let's put that there. So Michael, look for it after the show's over.
Michael, you were mentioning about the new Paul McCartney album, how...
I'm listening to it over and over again. It's his kind of lockdown album. He's played like a few of his other albums, like Ram, his first one. He played all the instruments on it. And it's great. It's really inventive and... sonically interesting. It's really worth listening to.
Wow, I didn't even know he had dropped a new album.
Yeah, it's called McCartney 3. But it's really good, really worth checking out.
Wow.
Great sound.
And I was
too.
Saying that
some of it goes on a bit and you go, oh, someone's having fun in the studio, but it is terrific. Like even the opening song is like a kind of a heavy rocker, but it's an acoustic and it's he's yeah,
on.
Everybody, check it out.
For sure.
It's nice to have an older artist put out really good quality music because very often people's peak is in their younger years when they're, sharp and they have maybe things are a bit closer to the surface. It's nice to have.
Yeah, their antenna are up. They haven't got as comfortable. They're still maybe got something to prove. Mm-hmm. But this is really like a contemporary sounding album without aping any modern musical trends. There's no trap music in it, and you know, or you know, no vocal tricks that you know are out of his league or anything like that. No, it's mm-hmm. it's really an interesting record worth listening mm-hmm. to. Also, excellent. For singers, for songwriters, you got to note that this is the 50th anniversary of Carole King's Tapestry, which is, you know, a very, very successful album, but it is such a great songwriter's album. The way that
how many hits were off of that album?
Probably every song, four or six or something. It's Too Late. Feel the Earth Move. I don't know about Natural Woman if that was a hit. It was a hit, obviously, for Aretha Franklin.
Right.
And what's it about a friend that James Taylor recorded? So you've got a friend.
I knew the first time I heard that song was the House Martins doing it. So
you've got a friend?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay. She and other co-writers, especially her first husband, Jerry Goffin, are responsible for like 300 or 400 hit songs. Like, it's amazing how good a writer she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, again, it's a song. It's a bunch of work that if you actually just sat down and analyzed it and pulled it apart, you can actually learn how to write great songs just by sort of figuring out how it works. Because mm-hmm. She's such a master.
Like musically, how it goes into a bridge or how, you know, just the dynamics. Because she's not, you know, like a powerhouse singer, but she's very open and honest. And you don't miss having, you know, like a Streisand or an Aretha Franklin mm-hmm. singing these songs. You really get the intention.
Yeah, so, and really inventive, interesting melodies. Like she really used her voice in such a way that you don't mistake her songs for anything else. You know,
no. And what I like about it is so many of the lyrics are so conversational. You know, like from it's too late. You know, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? Like they just sound like musings to yourself or a conversation you'd have with someone.
Masterful stuff.
It's also the 40th anniversary of Rush's Moving Pictures album.
Oh, really?
1981.
When they got all kind of poppy. So
when they it was really the bridge between them being like progressive and weird to be more arena rock.
Right.
Sort of thing.
And speaking of Rush, any Rush fans out there with a lot of money, Alex Lifeson says he's going to be selling off his guitar collection for charity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he said he's not really too beholden to his guitars. He said, the guitar is only as good as what you play on it.
Yeah.
So, that's his theory. And he is, going to sell his guitars for charity. Like, I think David Gilmour did this from Pink Floyd and someone else.
So. I'm a fan of the first Rush record myself. I know it's unpopular, but.
You just really didn't like Neil Peart.
yeah, no kidding. And like a cerebral prog stuff. Yeah. It was really, that first album was really steeped in Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Yeah, good
stuff. Cool.
Right.
Well, speaking of songwriters, shall we get to the meat of the show? A couple of weeks ago, well, actually, it was in November where the gauntlet was thrown down. Mm-hmm. Write a song with a chord progression that doesn't change. And further to that was also, and the measure doesn't change as well, which I had to work around, but it was good. It taught me a lesson. And last month we unveiled our songs and we got a lot of listeners sending in their songs, which is great. So we're going to listen to the first batch of them tonight. And there are all kinds of music being generated. So I'm not sure. Is there anything we should say before we get to the first one?
I was just thinking maybe we should go around the three of us and just say what it is we learned from this challenge and so, sort of what to listen for when we listen to these songs. Mike, you said you learned something. What did you learn?
I learned a couple of things, or it really reinforced. I like writing with parameters. I like the discipline of you know, being told you can do this and you can do that. I think that helps limit you know, blue skying and helps you focus on the task. But specifically, what I learned was, because I think I'd worked on it roughly, and then I talked to you guys, and you said, no, keep the measure the same too. And that was a big thing, because to get out of the chorus each time, I'd been hanging on each of the two chords an extra beat. And when you said, no, can't do that, it forced me to not do that and come up with a different way. And it was a little difficult. It pushed me into an area that I would not have gone to. But I think the song that I came up with actually was better for it. And then the other thing was just how do you keep it interesting? You play with, is it the dynamics of the playing, of the instrumentation, or is it what do you do vocally with the melodies? Do you, you know, have verses that are staccato and then the bridge, the chorus is sort of elongated vowels and shorter words, or, you know, how do you do that? How do you make the same chord progression sound really, really different the whole way through? Mm-hmm. And so that challenge, this particular challenge, I think was really good for getting stuff out of me.
Wasn't easy. I think the thing to keep in mind with this kind of thing is to not think that you're going to be writing a hit song, that the purpose of a challenge isn't necessarily to get the best song, but to actually push yourself into using techniques that you wouldn't normally use, techniques that you're not familiar with. And, you know, you might come up to a point where you're at the bridge and you don't know what to do, and you might come up with a solution that may not be the best solution, but by coming up with that solution, you'll actually sort of build muscle. That's kind of like what that, you know, that one song a year, one song a day for a year process is. The idea isn't to write a fantastic song each day, but just to write something to get that muscle. And I think that's one of the best things about a challenge is to, it's easy to say, well, you know, it's mostly right, but in the bridge I changed it. But if you stick with the challenge, you actually will learn more about songwriting than you would otherwise. And I think that's the best thing.
Absolutely.
I agree. I think you have to submit to the boundaries established. Otherwise, you're not really going to learn as much as you could, and don't have the goal as being, oh, I've got to write this great song. It's, okay, I've got to see what adhering to these principles and these rules, where does it lead me?
Mm-hmm.
Neil, what did you discover?
Yeah, for myself, I found that that my sense of melody is actually better than I give myself credit for, because for me, it was all about how do I pull melodies out of the same chord progression? Cause I lean on different chord progressions to give me different melodies, but you know, that was the big challenge for me. And as well, the idea of writing with parameters and writing with intention, like this one very much felt like the last songwriting challenge, it felt like an assignment. And I needed to get it done. And it wasn't a question of just waiting around for inspiration. It was like, okay, I got to get to work on this thing. And I have the idea and I have the parameters to work with. So let's massage it a little bit more. Let's develop it a little bit more. And that really goes back to that sort of, you know, inspiration versus editing idea that, yeah, you know, when you have a task to complete, you just chip away at it and work at it until you get something that you're satisfied with. And that's the development of a song. And that's what we harp on all the time on the show. And it really came out strongly for me this time, because I had different versions of it that I didn't like, and finally landed on something that I liked.
It is a craft. You know, you can't just sit and wait for inspiration. You got to work at it. And as you say, chip away at it until you get something out of the marble that, you know, looks like a nice sculpture.
If you if you're someone who does soundtrack work, you have a deadline and you have to provide music by this deadline, because you're not the final step in the process. There's a lot of stuff that happens afterwards, so you have to produce and you have to start some ways. And sometimes it'll be genius, and other times it'll be just be good. But hopefully your experience will help you make something that's okay into something that's good as opposed to something that's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think too many professional artists are in a position where they can just kind of write and write. And when it comes to me, when it's ready, I'll deliver it. Because even if, you know, if you have a record deal, you have to deliver a certain number of songs by a certain deadline. And there will be people going, okay, where's the hit? Or where's this doesn't sound like you? Or, you know, there's always going to be parameters and it's going to be deadlines. And waiting for inspiration is not going to help you. It's wonderful when you can ride a wave of inspiration, but working on your craft is a much more profitable
and dependable,
productive way to go.
Did you guys start off with a chord progression and then work from there?
This challenge? No.
Yeah.
No. I started with lyrics and melody. Lyrics and then melody and chord progression kind of came at the same time. But then I kept changing my chord progressions.
Yeah, I did. But that's because I was playing around with that drop D form. So I thought, oh, I'll see what I can make with this. So I did start with chords this time.
That's usually what I start. Yeah, I started off with that riff. And, you know, I've had that riff. So I just basically looped that riff and figured out what to do on top of that.
Yeah, worked out well.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to get to what our listeners brought in, our audience. It was great. We've had a lot, too much for one show, which is wonderful. Hopefully they'll keep coming in and we'll have too much for two shows. But let's get to our first listener song. Sorry, I'm just going to try to find it here.
Oh, we'll start with Mike Davies.
Volume one. This would be Mike Davies, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So his song is called An Algorithm Said. The chord progression, for those of you following along at home, is a G, A minor, C, D. Though he does hang on the D for a little bit. And he's new to Song Talk Radio, so let's throw him in the deep end. Let's hear the song.
All right.
Monday, went to see a bat alone, was told to go back home, there's a URL you know. So Tuesday, punch my details in online, and in 2 minutes time an email said I was declined, maybe past my earning prime, old and getting complicated, been divorced 3 times, maybe madly, sadly that's it. An algorithm said I didn't fit. Wednesday, bought some gardening supplies, a couple of new toys, great bulk discounts applied. Thursday, the SWAT team came to call, by kicking down my door, thought I was planning to bomb them all, planning nothing like that at all, but the fertilizer fireworks, the petrol and the drone attacked me, nabbed me, a profile fit. An algorithm said something's amiss. Friday, went out and hit the town, feeling the wrong way round, and I saw Sophie from South Down. Saturday morning, walked to calipers on my nose, micrometer on my toes, typing measurements in a phone. By the time I got back home, she texted to say that her and I were not a golden ratio, unlikely to marry. Sadly, that's it. An algorithm said we didn't fit. Sadly, that's it. An algorithm said we didn't fit. Sadly, that's it. An algorithm said we didn't fit. Mm-hmm.
Mike Davies.
Mike Davies from An Algorithm Said.
Very nice.
And just from his use of petrol, I might imagine that he is further overseas.
Well, I had to look out south down. It's in merry old England. So.
Yeah, perhaps. What did you think of that, Neil?
I quite liked it. I mean, I like the little guitar ditty. I like the contrast between this being a kind of old-fashioned folk song, yet it's about, you know, modern technology and all that sort of stuff. I do enjoy that. Like, I don't know if you'd call that a contrast in prosody or not, but the song doesn't sound like what it's about.
Right. It's a kind of an old-fashioned style of music or genre, singing about very modern problems.
Yeah, exactly. I do like his, I mean, it's kind of a verse refrain type of structure. I do like his refrain about the sadly that's it, an algorithm said we didn't fit. That's where he gets more rhymey, like more perfect rhymes there. And it does pull out as a bit of enough contrast for you know, that style of music, I think. I wonder, like, he's right about hanging on to the D chord at the end of certain sections. I didn't, like, count it out, but I don't think he was being perfectly consistent about the challenge in that case. Was he not? Like, it wasn't when he was hanging on the D.
I don't think so.
Structure every time?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was a little bit different.
I guess to Phil's point, I mean, I thought the song was good. But if you want to challenge yourself, then you can perhaps learn more by boxing yourself into something rigid. But as a song.
Yeah, because he did say in his email, admittedly, I dwell on the D, but that's all part of making an unchanged progression work. Well,
yeah.
So, how about you, Phil? What did you think?
I liked, lyrically, I really like the, you know, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday theme. That's a great way of
Friday I'm in love.
Yeah,
that's a sense of progression.
Yeah. And lots of great little sort of, you know, tight rhymes within the line. There was something I was going to mention, and is that the end of his line, the algorithm said I didn't fit, he left it up on a high note, and for some reason I wanted to hear it go down. An algorithm said we didn't fit or something, didn't fit. Or
a bit more resolved that way?
Yeah, just a bit more resolved. But that's, that's a bit of a quibble. But that's, I really liked it. I thought it was really fun. It was, didn't do too much. And it was, but really tight. I mean, conceptually tight from top to bottom, which I thought was great. And I love the stuff that we're not a golden ratio and likely to marry.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, that's, lyrically, I think it was really top-notch. Mm. And there was enough kind of dynamics where sometimes it was low and sometimes it was quite energetic to, you know, give you different so you knew what the geography of the song was. You knew where you were. And then at the end, you know, there was a different melody with the same chords. So, yeah, I thought that was terrific. I hope we can hear more from Mike Davies.
Definitely got some cool,
really, really great lyrics, and it's funny because it's true. Kudos, Mike. Really, really, thank you for sending that.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Let's see who we have next.
It's Sadie.
Oh yeah, and I'm see Sadie is a singer-songwriter from Toronto. She heard about our challenge from a friend and decided to share this song. It's called Dirty Introvert. She hasn't listed what the chords are, but let's take a listen and see how it works out.
I figured out what the chords are.
All right. Share that with the class, please.
Yeah. That's it.
I said, would you like to share that with the class?
I will share that with the class. It was a G major 7, an F major 7, a C, and then a C. So four bar loop, G major 7.
With three chords.
F major 7, C for two bars.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
All right, let's listen 5-4-1. Sadie Aliza.
Thank you.
with Dirty Introvert. Oh, wait, she did. Actually, she did list the chords. Sorry. But thank you for doing the homework, Neil. Dirty Introvert by Sadie Alisa. Phil, what's your take on that?
Great song. I mean, she was really able to get a lot of movement and a lot of separation of the song's sections through just sort of melody and actually the way she sang the words, which I thought was so masterful. It's a wonderful way of taking something that's simple and still make it interesting, you know? So, yeah, definitely a great, great, great tune. Really liked it. Mm-hmm. Fantastic production as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice. Neil, what'd you think?
Yeah, I really like this one. It's kind of sultry and smooth. And the 6/8 time reminded me of that Chris Isaac song from way back when.
Wicked Game.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Reminiscent. In some ways, I really like the variation in the melodies. Like they're kind of in and out, and she left some space in a lot of parts of it, and then the pickup for the tagline, just the thought of you seems to get me through. Really strong sort of resolution to the whole progression in that sense. I mean, the progression is obviously the same the whole way through, but in terms of the lyric and the melody.
The melodic resolution at that point, it makes it feel like a chorus, even though it's not strictly verse chorus.
She did say in her email, I initially named it Dirty Introvert. I think I'll keep that name for now because the title never shows up in the lyric.
No, I would think it might, like if it's going to be this from the song, it would be maybe Just a Thought of You would be the song title. But
yeah,
because that gets repeated, and that seems to be the stickiest melody in the song.
It is certainly the stickiest melody. It's kind of a conventional title, I suppose. Just the thought of you.
Yes.
Yeah. There's probably a billion songs with that title, but yeah.
Well, then you put in brackets Dirty Introvert.
Dirty Introvert, yeah. Always the bracketed titles.
Oh, the brackets will save you.
Yeah.
It's tough because, you know, people listen to stuff on streaming services, and they may not be looking at what the title is, so. Titling is kind of an important thing, I think.
Yeah, they'll call it what they remember it by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like I
thought the instrumentation of it was really good at delineating the different parts of the song. And like I said, the second verse, I guess it's a verse, nothing was really that clearly defined, is way longer than the first one.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes things would rhyme, sometimes they weren't. I'm kind of a fan of, if you don't want to rhyme, don't rhyme. No, like if
you don't have to rhyme.
If everything else in the song is working, if your melodies are good and, you know, your intentions are clear and the music is on point, you don't need to rhyme.
Yeah. And it's that
out there that don't rhyme.
It's the tag at the end, just the thought of you, it seems to get me through. That's the only time she uses a couplet rhyme, right? Mm-hmm. It's an A-A. In the verses, she's kind of A-B, A-B. It's a little bit less concrete and less resolved that way, but that's the only time I think that she uses an actual couplet.
Yeah, that's true.
And you did the same thing with your song, Mike. Your second verse was a little bit longer than or shorter. I can't remember what it was,
but the point is
when you've got a short loop like that, you can just roll it, keep it rolling as long as you need to.
Exactly. If you introduce it and then once you get it going, then okay, you pick up the pace a bit and not by making the song faster, but by making the changes occur quicker in the song, which is another way to make the song go faster or to have a good sense of forward momentum. Mm-hmm. If the changes between pre-chorus, verse, pre-chorus, whatever, occur quicker, then the song feels like it's getting to a conclusion better, quicker.
I've always wondered about that. It's, you know, because I've often done songs where there's a variation on the second verse. But then I was thinking, if you've only heard this song once, you haven't heard a repetition enough for a variation to be a variation. So if you have three verses.
I think you pick up on it at a less than conscious level.
Do you?
You know?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, if there's hooky melodies or something, like you get on board with it and you anticipate where things are going to go. And yeah. If it surprises you but still pays off, then I think that's part of what's pleasing to the ear.
I thought when you'd have the, you know, the variation on the last verse, but...
Yeah, and when you say variation, like that's a broad term. Like in Sadie's song, it's clearly another verse that we're going into. It's just she put a little more stuff in it, right? And it's a little bit longer, but it's clearly the same thing. It's not it's not the same thing as if you invented a completely different melody and called that a variation, and that's going a little bit too far. And then you'd be right. There's not enough repetition for you to really establish the thing. But I think it depends how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could take your variation could be that the melody is the same, just sung either a little higher or a bit more passionately, or you know, there's different ways to provide variation that still keep the listener knowing where it's going.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But this is great again, Sadie, especially. Actually, in COVID, it doesn't matter. I was going to say, oh, because you're in Toronto like we are, keep it coming. But it really doesn't matter. You could be anywhere.
Anywhere.
It would still work. But that was
great stuff.
Thank you for sharing that, Sadie. That was great. We will move on now.
All right.
Unless you guys have anything else to say about Dirty Introvert.
Let's get to the next one.
Let's get to the next one. Because we're busy people here, and we've got lots of songs. The next one is from Lorenzo Policelli. It's called Tesla's Bagel Shop, What Life Can Make You Ask, .. So, you know, sometimes having a bracket in your song can help. And my goodness, there's a lot of lyrics. Let's see how this goes.
This song is
Tesla's Bagel Shop. Yes, Phil, sorry.
This song has more lyrics than actually any of my albums.
Yeah. A lot of words.
I'm very impressed.
And there's no preamble from Lorenzo either. We don't know where it came from, how it was inspired. We know nothing. So let's give it a spin. Drop it
song,
down on the
turntable.
Song
that can make you ask.
Yeah. Yes.
Sunrise slowly creeps. The old man has a nightmare. The boy rubs both his eyes. He yawns towards his bundle. The old man starts but stumbles, blinded by his tears, reminded of his fears. The face to his generation in a far off different time and place. The tears roll down his face, remembering his mother, his father, remembering his wife, his daughters, who were baked in an oven grave. And in life's little ironies, today he is a baker, an esteemed bagel maker, a friend of his paperboy, who always sees the lights, and always smells the warmth, and always stops to talk in Tesla's bagel shop. Oh, nightmares have a way of ruining your day. So the old man didn't rise. The boy begins to worry. Today there is no lights. Today there is no warmth. And he feels a little cold inside. So he breaks in the back and makes his way upstairs to find the old man on his bed, burying his head. The old man tells his nightmare, reluctantly but sure, to just a little boy who could only listen. But this is what he missed, and he told them how some hoods broke in and broke his oven, and broke his body too, and burnt his helpless bagels. He smiled at the little boy, and his tears came to a halt. So he took the boy downstairs to Tesla's bagel shop. Oh, it all seems such a task. What life can make you ask, what life can make you dream. The boy gave him his paper and chewed on a day old heaped with strawberry jam. He walked backward up the street so that he could feel the heat, so that he could see the lights. that shine on them so bright and cause the hurt to stop in Tesla's bagel shop.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I would have liked to have known a bit about the origins of this song. Mm-hmm. But interesting. It made me think, in a way, Phil, of when we talked about songs like this, Werewolves of London. It's a long story song where there isn't a lot of repetition. There's just like a moment where we come back to the same point, Werewolves of London or Tesla's Bagel Shop. So that aspect of it was quite interesting. And then there was like a definite, I guess it was a refrain more than a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure of the intention of the song and if more melodic or musical variation would help tell the story in a more scenic way.
I don't know. I like a lot of different kinds of music. I mean, I love stuff like The Residents or like, it's an outsider sort of no wave, I think, as they call it. And this is, you know, it's a story about a paper boy and a baker. Mm-hmm. And, their friendship. And I liked it because it's not a verse, chorus, sing-songy, hey, here we going. Like, it was a very intentional artistic statement, and I kind of appreciated it that way. And it's brought to my mind other stuff that is kind of like this, which is just, you know, it's kind of a stream of consciousness. Well, not really a stream of consciousness. It's actually a pretty tight tale. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. It kind of puts you into this world of, and it brought to mind The Residents. Sometimes some of their story pieces are kind of like that. It's a lot of, there's a lot of lyrics and he doesn't repeat anything and he doesn't have a chorus.
Except for the refrain.
Except for the refrain. So it's not actually too long a song either. I think it's,
it's
a regular length song.
Yeah. It's actually quite short.
There's no intro. He goes right into it off the top.
Yeah, so I kind of thought it was sort of neat, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said, I would have liked to have heard the a bit of the origin or what he was, where it came from or what he was intending.
Yeah, it's certainly a unique piece and quite different. And there's a couple of things that kind of threw me off. Like you say, it's about a baker and a boy. But there's some really dark stuff. It was wife and daughters who were baked in an oven grave. The line kind of threw me. Was like, whoa, where are we going here? It sounds like really
like
murder happening, something. And so it's a little bit strange that way. The thing that really threw me, all these songs, I've been trying to just play along with them on my piano to see how the chords worked and everything. There's three chords in this song, F major 7, E minor, C major 7. So he built a 3-bar loop because they're 1-bar each.
Mm-hmm.
And then loops that, but then the lyrics don't necessarily line up in triplets. Like they're not in threes. Sometimes they're in fours. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're a little bit like it's almost like a polyrhythm thing happening in terms of the lines, the way the lines are built lyrically and melodically, and the chords, because they kind of shift and it gives the whole song this kind of meandering strangeness feel to it, right? Mm-hmm. And he always comes back to that refrain, or only comes back to it really, three times.
Three times.
Yeah. And the third time, the verse before it is quite a bit shorter. It's about half the length. So, yeah, really interesting. Interesting that all three songs so far, none of them have had, like you say, Phil, like a sing-songy, really clearly defined chorus. They're all kind of verse refrain songs, and none of them have a bridge.
That's true.
I guess it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't have traditional pop song structure.
Verse refrain arguably is more traditional than a verse chorus structure. I don't know.
It's an older
type
it's of true.
Musical structure.
Mm-hmm.
But quite interesting to have such variety without even at this point having a song with a bridge or a, you know, a verse, chorus, bridge, chorus kind of structure or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really
this one is very much a story song. I mean, the lyric is really what drives it more than anything else.
Yeah. You know? I would be interested to hear other songs of his to see what his style of music is. If this is a, you know, an aberration for this, or this is the kind of music that he works in.
Mm-hmm. Nick Cave.
So, Lorenzo, more. Give us more.
Nick Cave.
Yeah, it did remind me a bit of Nick Cave.
Yeah, because he has those kind of story songs.
Okay. Yeah, almost hymnal or, you know, like psalms or, there is something to that.
Right.
So, and if you haven't heard Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or even Nick Cave without the Bad Seeds.
That's true.
Okay. Or even Grinder Man, which is great. Another band of his.
Grinder Man?
Grinder Man, yeah. There's some great songs on that.
He was in the Birthday Party, wasn't he?
He was in the Birthday Party as well. He did a great show last year, two years ago, at Convocation Hall, where he played piano and interacted with the audience. I'll try to make this quick. So a tragedy befell Nick Cave a few years ago. His 15-year-old son fell off a cliff, I think, in Dover. And he'd always been a very aggressive, assaultive performer where he challenged the audience, like Iggy Pop or some other. But after that, he reevaluated his relationship with the audience. And now he's been doing these tours where he really breaks that down and has conversations. And it was just a really amazing evening of music and conversation where he talked and listened more. He listened to people talking to him about his music and how it had impacted them. Mm-hmm. And occasionally he would be inspired by what they said and he'd go to the piano and play a song and he'd come back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people were sharing their loss of a loved one. Some people were, you know, really particular about certain songs or periods in his life. And it was a really unique evening of song. And I think he's still, obviously not during COVID, but that's the way he's been touring lately. I think it's called In Conversation with Nick Cave, and I would highly recommend it. It's just a really interesting musical evening.
Interesting.
Okay. And I'd love to hear more from Lorenzo, too.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And, bring it on.
Okay, we've got time for one more. And if you've sent in your song and you haven't heard it yet, then we'll be doing another episode, at least one more episode of this show, sometime next month. Mm-hmm. This one, a song, is from our friend Don Thompson. And he had said he started playing a simple progression on an acoustic guitar, a C, and then instead of going to your regular chords of G and D, he just slid up the neck of the guitar and keeping the C formation, and it kind of, I guess, it gave a jangly sort of airy feeling to it. And he added a bit more to that, and so that's where the song came from, that airy feeling, and he wrote the lyrics from that. He was going to change it a bit. So every time he added a change on the chorus, it took him out of the song, so he just left it the way it was. He couldn't come up with lyrics, so he just did a kind of a ba-da-ba thing.
What's
which
wrong with that?
I, when I'd heard it, I said to him, I go, I keep meaning to write a song that doesn't have lyrics, but it's kind of – I'm afraid to.
Yeah.
To just let it coast on the melody. So So the chord stays the same and the atmosphere stays in space because the song is called Interstellar Love. Let's take a listen to it.
Left my home a million miles ago, never felt so alone. Try to brush away the pain. Thrills and stardust just don't work. Youth and inexperience put us here, no place, no home. Boom, ba-da, boom, interstellar love.
alone. Our time passes by, gone like light inside black holes. Interstellar love shines so bright and so long.
Interstellar Love from Don Thompson.
Love it.
Very cool. Very cool. Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like it. I like the expansiveness of it. Like all the stacked guitars and everything makes it feel very space.
great prosody, right? It sounds like
It sounds like it sounds like what it's about. I think my favorite line in the song is "Brushed away your hair so I could stare into the sun."
Yeah, I think that's a neat line in any love song.
it reminded me of a They Might Be Giants song. I forget which one it was, but the line went like, you're in my heart where my blood should be.
That's right.
But Don managed to get a good amount of mileage out of different melodies. Like the boop-bada really stands out
really
strong.
Yeah.
It's catchy. I don't know. Is that a refrain or is that a chorus?
Yeah, it's a chorus.
It's a chorus.
Definitely a chorus.
And he did the same thing I did. He did the same thing as I did with my song. He ended it hanging on the dominant instead of bringing it back to the one.
Yeah, so, letting it drift off into space.
Beautiful.
I heard an earlier version of it, and his vocals were mixed down a bit more. And in a way, I kind of like that a bit better because he seemed a bit more lost in space. It was funny. I got a different mood from it when the vocals were mixed a bit higher. But I think the slide really is evocative too. You know, it's all these things that sustain forever, like just you're drifting forever. And finally, we got a verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
Yeah.
Is that a bridge though, or is it another verse? I think it's another verse.
When you're doing the same chord progression, how – would you I guess, yeah, you're right, because it's not a different lyrical perspective, and it is kind of the same melody as the previous verses. It's just much more hushed.
Yeah, so
– production-wise, it drops down, but
– yeah. I mean, the role of a bridge is to cleanse the palate so that the refrain gets that much tastier. Mm-hmm. And so I think it does kind of fulfill that by sort of changing – enough of the song so that when he comes back into the boo-bop that it feels strong again.
Yeah, it really picks up.
Okay. Oh, got the instrumental break.
Speaking of kicking in when you come back, I was watching one of those YouTube videos where the producer talks about recording a song, and he said, here's a little tip. And what he did is cut out like just the last beat of the bridge before – so it's like, you know, there's like, a bass playing, like just pumping eights or something like that. And he took out the very last beat before the chorus. So there's all this almost imperceptible dropout. And then the chorus kicks in much stronger. Uh-huh. I thought, oh, there's an interesting recording tip.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yes.
If you want to be loud and powerful, then be really, really quiet before.
You just get that 1 second where there's like catching a breath before you know.
I'll have to try that out. Mm-hmm. And definitely the chorus is very strong because it really sounds, you know, that Buddha, like in the fact that there's no lyrics there, it didn't feel like he was missing anything, you know?
No. And when you're talking about something extraterrestrial, who knows what other worlds there are out there, what other languages, it's hard to, you know, speak English, damn it. Doesn't seem appropriate.
what did you guys think of him inserting the title in the middle of the second verse, Interstellar Love, Burned So Bright and So Long? He does it in the last verse too, actually.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have done that myself. Because I think it's such a good, like, this is a good enough song where I think he could have found a better line there.
That's what you I was know? Thinking.
Because it's a really good song.
It is.
Yeah, I think it's true.
That'd be my only nit, if anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. Like I you know, it because it was nice. Well, I brushed away your hair so I could stare in the sun, Interstellar Love. Like it kind of brought you into that moment. And the fact that then when it is repeated in the chorus, it just amplifies, okay, that's what the emotion is that's going on.
Mm.
Because there's so many other things. Oh, okay. My goodness. Already? Do you hear that?
Already.
I hear the music. And the music, well, let's just wrap up. So thank you, Don, for sending us that song.
Awesome song.
Terrific. Yeah, can't wait to hear more from you. Yeah. And it sounds like your newly reorganized studio is paying off in dividends. That was a lovely sounding record.
Yeah.
So thank you for sending that. And please, to all our listeners, stand by. We're going to have another listener song show in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio. So thank you for joining us for this show. Send us your emails, your impressions, your comments, your complaints, your credit card number to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Song Talk Radio, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel where you can see us talking in boxes. And occasionally we have live performances, but not in this COVID time. And please stop by songtalk.ca, where you can find lots of things like lists of products and books and web services and all the things we talk about on the show. And you can find out about the next Song Talk meetup, which is coming up soon. It's coming up Monday, the 22nd of February. So you can, it's like a songwriter circle. You bring in a song, play it, and people will give you feedback virtually, and you will give your feedback on other people's songs. It's
squares in a circle.
It's wonderful. So go to songtalk.ca to find out more information on that. You can subscribe to this wonderful podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher.com, Spotify, or Podcast Addict. And when you're at songtalk.ca, you can also sign up for a newsletter. Just so much there. If you want even more of us, you can find Neil. Where would we find you, Neil?
NeilMody.com.
Virtually. And Phil, virtually, where would we find you? You don't need your home address. PhilEmery.ca. And you can find me on Instagram at Proudfoot420. It's just photographs, and I have not been keeping up with new photographs, so I'm sorry.
No.
But what you can get in terms of new information is if you go to songtalk.ca, you'll find lots of things. You can browse our past shows, and there's information on how you could be a guest, and you know, the meetup and lots of other things. So, but the main thing is keep on writing and stay safe. Good night.
Good night,
everyone.